Just gather around and I'll elucidate on what goes on outside when it gets late.
Long about midnight, the ghosts and banshees, they get together for their nightly jamboree.
There's things with horns and saucer eyes.
Some with fangs about this size.
Some are fat and some are thin.
And some don't even wear their skin.
Oh, I'm telling you, brother, it's a frightful sight to see what goes on Halloween night.
You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Hey, welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, October 26th.
View from the what? What is that?
Who are we? Where are we?
Who are we? Where am I? I feel lost. Wow. Sorry. And there was my Canadian sorry too. Sorry. Wow. Yeah. Sorry. 2 weeks off there. Life is getting busy for us. Complicated.
Busy. More busy than you. Yeah. You think you're as busy as you can possibly be, and then something more.
Well,
makes you
more,
busier.
More busy makes you busier.
Yeah.
With trying to get my business up and running, and you running a day home. And then we just got punched in the berries last week, finding out that 2 out of 3 of our day home families, 2 weeks from now we're leaving, sorry. So that ramped up the stress a little bit. So we're re-advertising our day home and trying to get that going. I mean, we're talking to somebody, but...
When I was thinking about it, and in a way, it's like trying to sell your house.
Yeah.
Because every time you have somebody come over to see if they want to have their kids there, it means extra cleaning, extra tidying, extra grooming. I better wear makeup today.
And it's a pain in a way, too, because, it's anything. If you're selling a vehicle or you've posted something on Kijiji or Craigslist or something, or you have a garage sale, strangers are coming to look at something that... It may or may not be that important to you, but it's yours. So you have to, you're kind of putting yourself on parade and have to, take or leave whatever they say. And do they like me? Do they,
Yeah.
It's annoying.
It's tiring and it's a process. And
so what is this now? This must be our, fifth, sixth Halloween show?
Something like that, I guess.
And it's just scary. It's scary that it's Halloween. Talk about sneaking up on you.
Halloween?
Yeah.
I know.
It's like, whoa, I have plans for decorating our front yard and stuff, and it's all still in the bags. I have to unpack it and go and decorate, so I'll find time to do that around the time that I have to do other things.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Busy life.
And Emily's birthday is Friday.
Yes.
So that's something else. And talk about that a little bit, what we're doing this year. And the challenge is, too, that this is a 12th birthday. So you kind of broke the news to her the other... you tell the story.
Oh, well, it's just... Okay, well, because we sort of, kept her a grade behind where she could be for different reasons, but none of them because she... has problems.
Yeah. Well, not of that kind anyway.
Right. She's turning 12 and she's still in grade 6. Whereas if I look ahead, when Connor turns 12, he will be in grade 7.
Junior high.
Which is a different sort of feeling, different friends, different interests, different maturity level, different birthday party.
Yeah.
So the struggle was explaining to her why she has to have a more mature birthday party when she still wants to have a kid birthday party like all her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I explained it to her, like, it's a fair thing when, I can't, if we have another kid birthday party for you when you're 12, then Connor misses out. And it's such a little thing, and I'm just really a fair person when it comes to our kids. I want them to be equal. I want them to have the same opportunities, the same discipline,
completely
the same whatever.
Completely unfair when it comes to me, I might add.
Why?
No, I'm just kidding. Because there's only one of me, so I just get unfair. Oh. I don't get anything made up to me.
I see what you mean. And at the same time, I have to... I have to also say to the kids, okay, you can't, because they'll do this, right? Well, Emily got to be on the computer and I didn't and blah, blah, blah. And so now I'm starting to say to them, okay, but you can't go your whole life saying, well, Emily got this. You can't come to me when you're 30 and say, well, Emily got a new car and I didn't get, you know. So at some point there has to be some unfairness also thrown in there. But as much as I can, I do try to keep the fairness equal. So.
Yeah. True enough.
So she got to invite three friends this week year, and that was it. And we're going to take them to a movie. We're going to have pizza at our house beforehand. Go to a movie. That's it. Yep. I'm not making her a big fancy designed cake, which was the big stressing.
And you've probably heard about us over the years how Connor had a panda cake, and it was made from real panda, so it was delicious and endangered. And what?
Emily
had that bald eagle cake, and
well, she got a pumpkin cake. Like, it was actually the shape and size of a pumpkin. It was huge and big and 3D round. And
all we did was take a bowling ball and ice it. So
right.
No, I'm just kidding.
So, you know, I still want to do something fun. I just don't want it. It also gets to a point where parents get older and they've done a million kid birthdays and they're ready to not have to do them anymore.
Yep.
Anyway, so
also true.
She's over it. I think she's okay. We came up with a compromise, and so it's all good.
And then we have Connor, who I think he part of him wants to like Halloween, but for the most part, he's traumatized by it.
Yeah.
So the closer we get to Halloween, the more concerned he becomes that he will suddenly be scared by something or. So we're always tempering things with what should he watch, what shouldn't he watch, what's okay for him to watch. He's a little older.
Where it's a total, what's the word? When he's at odds with himself.
Conflicted.
Yeah. Because he'll watch anything.
Yeah.
And really, it doesn't, not much scares him to watch.
No. It's then bedtime that night.
But even
later
then.
Later that night.
Even that. He really hasn't had a problem too much lately. Hmm. Not for a long time. His issue is with Halloween itself.
Right.
And it's because of scary stories he heard 4 years ago. And I keep telling him, like, last year was even better than this year.
Yeah. Well, but
It's not scary things that scare him. And it's not Halloween that scares him. It's the thought of Halloween that scares him.
It's the memory of being scared so badly 5 years ago.
Exactly. That is right. What it is. And it's really kind of silly.
It is.
And I've had a few talks with him about it. But anyway.
Well, and the thing is, too, that he'll say to me, so, Dad, I feel kind of silly because all my friends at school have seen the Saw movies. And I just go, Saw? Really? Like, you're 9 years old. What kind of parents are these? Anyway. And he said, well, have you seen it? Well, what's the guy like? Well, why is there that puppet? Well, who's Freddy Krueger? Well, who's the guy from Friday the 13th again, Dad? And he's asking me all these questions, and I keep saying, not telling you, not telling you, still not telling you. And he'll say, well, what does Freddy Krueger do? Why does he look so funny? Or why does he look so different? I say, because he was really badly burnt. Well, what does he do? Well, he kills people, son. You know, and it's just like, okay.
He wants to know, and yet the idea of having to put a costume on and go house to house and get candy is scary.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't.
Doesn't make any sense. But anyway.
Anyway, so talking about Halloween, we've talked about this between ourselves a few times over the years, and have said we should one of these years we should talk about on our show some urban legends, because urban legends are generally the basis for horror movies or things like that, and some of the greatest scary stories are still urban legends. So talk about a few. Let's do that.
Okay, well, there's the one about the guy who's...
Everyone's heard this one.
The guy and girl who are on a date, and they're sitting in their car, and... Oh, yeah, and then there's a warning on the... They have the radio on while they're making out in their car. And the radio comes on, and that notice that someone has escaped from an insane asylum. And
they're always escaping.
And it's not far from their town or city or whatever.
Of course not.
And, oh, and that if they see anybody lurking around with a hook in place of his right hand, they should inform the police immediately. And then they gets scared. The girl gets scared, and the boy's like, oh, it's fine. I'll just lock the doors. Don't worry. I'll protect you because I'm a big, strong boy. And then what happens after that?
Well, then they the girl gets scared, and she wants to be taken home. And then so he locks all the doors instead and says, everything's going to be fine. They'll be safe. So the girl freaks out and pushes him away and says, we've got to go. It's not safe. We've got to get home. So the boy finally goes, okay, whatever. And he's ticked off. So he jerks the car into gear and spins out the wheels, taken off from this lover's lane spot where they're parked. So they get to the house. He gets out of his car, walks around to the girlfriend's door, and... Oh, that's a burp. I didn't want to use that. That's what I wanted to do. He finds hanging in the girlfriend's door handle a bloody hook. A bloody hook hanging in front of from her door handle. So, oh no, they were that close. yeah, whatever. You know,
I've heard that one before too, where the girl. I thought there was actually one where the girl disappears.
You know, and it's interesting too. The urban legend about the burp, which. That's when you press the wrong button. So then another famous one is the killer in the backseat. So a woman goes out for drinks with her girlfriend. She leaves the bar late at night, of course, gets in her car. Ladies and gentlemen, always check in the backseat before you get into your vehicle. I think that we've learned that by now. So she sees she's driving away, and she's on a deserted highway, of course. She's a lone pair of headlights in her rearview mirror that are approaching just slightly quicker than she's driving. So the car pulls up behind her, sees that the car has its turn signal on, was going to pass. Suddenly it swerves back behind her, gets close to her and tailgates her and flashes the brights. And I think we've seen that in horror movies before.
Right.
So she's getting nervous. Then the car behind her surges forward, and she's struggling to keep her eyes on the road, fights the urge to look behind her. Finally, she gets up to the exit, and the car is still flashing its lights behind her. And so every stoplight, this car follows her and follows her and follows her right up to her house, and she's freaking out, and she's got her cell phone or whatever, and she's getting ready to phone the police. So she runs into the house and leaves this guy in the car behind her. And as she runs towards the house, the guy yells after her, "Lock your doors and call the police." And then, of course, the police arrive and find the horrible truth that was finally revealed. The man in the car was trying to save her because...
There was a man with a butcher knife in the back
seat. He was trying to warn her that there was someone in the back seat that was going to get her.
So, exactly.
Yeah, the moral of the story, of course, always check in the back seat. You know, it's interesting because there was a horror movie a few years ago called Urban Legends, and it was called Urban Legends Bloody Mary. And what I actually thought was cool was I thought it was going to be a franchise that, you know, Urban Legends this, Urban Legends that, and they would tell different Urban Legends stories with each film. But I think probably the movie did so bad that it just never panned out to a series. Let's see, what are some other classics? We're just looking here. Oh, this one I hadn't heard as much, but it's really creepy. So a girl's babysitting for a family, and, you know, a really rich family. They have lots of rooms in a big house, big empty house, of course. Parents are going out to a late dinner in the movie, and the father says that he doesn't want the babysitter wandering around the house looking into all the rooms, so he says, once the kids are in bed and asleep, go into a specific room and watch TV. So parents leave, kids go to bed, babysitter's watching TV. But then she notices that there's a weird clown statue in the corner of the room. And she tries to ignore this thing, and it's kind of freaking her out. And she says, so she phones the father and says, hey, the kids are in bed. Is it okay if I change the rooms? Because this clown statue in here is really freaking me out. And the father says, get the kids, go next door and call 911. And the girl says, well, what's going on? And he says, just go next door, and once you call the police, call me back. So she does it, and she calls him back and says, seriously, what's going on? And he says, we don't have a clown statue. So the father explains that the children have been complaining about a clown watching them as they sleep, and he and his wife had just blown it off, assuming they were having nightmares. But the clown turns out to be a little person. A little person clown. And and so, yeah, which is just scary, I guess. So he would come into the kids' rooms at night and watch them while they slept, and the house was so big that he was able to hide. So, of course, the babysitter unfortunately discovered this person, and yes, and scary. And then, of course, there's Bloody Mary, which is just a really basic urban legend. Kids used to play this, and they would go to a mirror and say Bloody Mary three times, and the story that is that if you said it, she would appear and kill you, I guess. So I don't know how that story ever got carried on, because if it worked, you'd be dead. So that right. would be that.
That would.
So anyway, and then there's the other ones, like the girl with a big beehive hairdo, and it's itchy, and she discovers there's baby tarantulas in her hair and stuff like that. And
what?
And then there's the story about this family who goes out, and they come home, and their dog is their Doberman is choking, and so they take it to the vet, and the vet finds fingers in the dog's throat, and then they go back home, and there was a burglar in the basement, and the dog had bitten off his fingers. And
oh yes, I had heard that one.
So there you
Did
go.
You ever
so
hear the one about the breathing cactus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody goes to Mexico, brings a cactus home, which is, I guess, why we're not allowed to bring cactuses home. Cacti.
Right.
And it was pulsating, and then, of course, it erupts eventually, and it's full of baby spiders.
Yes.
Baby spiders are popular in urban legends. So that's that, I guess. So why don't you talk about, we finally managed to see Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. How do you want to do this? Do you want to just, like most people have seen it by now, we're very late to this party.
Yeah, we are.
I don't know, and it's been a couple of days. We didn't unpack it after we saw it, really.
No.
My comment initially was, I think it might be time to shelve this.
Yes.
It's the first Pirates movie so far where I found myself kind of bored.
Yep.
And wandering, you know, I'd come in and watch a bit and then leave.
I was getting antsy. I'm like, hurry up. I can't sit here any longer and watch this thing.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because Johnny Depp is still great. Overall, it is a good movie.
The second half was a lot stronger.
Yeah.
It was the first half that it was dragging a bit, and there was a lot of things in it that had already been done.
Yeah.
Like the fight scene on the rafters and
yeah, I said we saw that and I thought, this isn't just from the Lego game that I'm remembering this. This is actually was in the first movie.
Yeah. And some of the dialogue, like there was that whole scene where that scene where he's strapped to the chair in the king's dining room.
Yeah.
That could have been so much more impactful, but the dialogue sucked.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was struggling.
And what's really weird to me is that this is the film that broke box office records, huge box office records, and is now the eighth highest grossing film of all time worldwide. So, I don't know.
People still like Jack Sparrow, and they're willing to go see it for that reason,
yeah.
I think. And you know, I don't know. I guess it had enough in it to keep audiences coming. I don't know.
I think Penelope Cruz was wasted. I think Ian McShane was wasted. I don't mean wasted as in
drunk.
Inebriated. I just mean their talents were wasted.
Yeah, Penelope Cruz's character could have been a lot stronger.
Yeah, and our kids kept saying, well, where are Will and Elizabeth? I didn't really miss them. Because I felt like in the third movie they were just kind of there, you know. There was no point. One thing I said when the film was over is that I think it might be time for a new Johnny Depp franchise. So you know, maybe Lone Ranger or something like that. See him in something else.
Yeah, yeah.
I would be sad not to see Jack Sparrow again, but at the same time, I don't know.
Well, you can. I mean, that's what video is for.
Yeah.
Go back and watch the other ones again.
Well,
they were good.
That yeah.
was, you know, the part of the storyline that did capture my attention and I wish had actually had more to it was the mermaid and the young man.
Yeah.
I found that part a lot more interesting, and I cared more about that than anything else.
Yeah.
At the end, when we were waiting to see if there was anything after the credits,
because that was left as a bit of a loose end, that subplot, and there was never any closure brought to it. And then, you know, let's not spoil this, but the post-credits thing was a bit of a teaser for there'll be another story, and I don't know. It's weird because generally the critical reviews were mixed to negative, and yet, like you said, people still want to see Jack Sparrow, so they're willing to pay, and pay big they did to, you know, blow the box office records like that.
You know, and I personally would have rather seen a lot more Penelope Cruz and a lot less of Jeffrey Rush. He's been in the other movies, and he's got disgusting skin, and he's not good to look at.
Yeah.
They should have taken more advantage of the fact that she's hot.
Yeah.
And
played that up
a little more, or I don't know what.
And it was really strange, too, to me, speaking of Penelope Cruz, that there wasn't more, you know, there was a little bit of playfulness between them maybe twice, but, you know, they seem to have history, so play it up more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make more of that. I don't know. So another Pirates movie or two Pirates movies, or, you know, I think I read somewhere that they were talking about making the 5 and 6 back to back or something like that. I don't know. I think we're done. I think it was a great idea. I'm still amazed that they did so much with a theme park ride concept.
Yeah.
But I think it's time. Ship has sailed, if I can use that cliche.
You know, and maybe a second viewing would...
Maybe.
Change our minds, you know. Sometimes seeing it more than once can be helpful.
Yeah, and we didn't know anything about it. We didn't know what to expect. So the other thing Michael Staley from Verdict and I were kind of commiserating about is... Disney made a really bad call in this because they released it on Blu-ray, obviously, and the 3D DVD Blu-ray box set. And the only way to get the extra features on Blu-ray was to buy this ridiculous 3D set.
Right.
And I thought, you know, come on. Like, don't force me to watch a format that I have no interest in. You know, if people want to pay a premium to get that, great. But I don't. And don't hold me hostage to get extra features by having to buy this set.
So, yeah, that's kind of cheesy.
So, poo-poo on you, Disney. I bought your silly set and sold the DVD, and I'm going to sell the 3D, and then I get the Blu-ray disc with the extra features without it having cost me much at all once all is said and done, but whatever. So, Pirates on Stranger Tides, sorry if you loved it. We didn't. And if you hated it, we didn't hate it. It was nice to see Jack again, but I think it's time.
The sound, like, and the end was good. I was okay with the end. It had a lot more action, and the second half was, you know, almost redeemed it. So,
well, and it's you know, it's been going down the road of the Indiana Jones movies a little bit, as it's Jack Sparrow and, you know, Jack Sparrow and the Curse of the Black Pearl story. So the Black Pearl features fairly prominently. Then at World's End, so Jack dies and they have to find him and all of this kind of stuff, and then the Fountain of Youth. So it's like, you know, it's like the Raiders of the Lost Ark. So the Ark of the Covenant features very prominently in that story. And so a little bit like that, and had they focused, and there was very little focus on the Fountain of Youth. Like, here it is, essentially that should be the central point of the whole film, and it felt very... Oh, yeah, we have to add that back in. Oh, yeah, we should mention that. It just felt very after the fact throughout the whole movie, I thought. But it didn't feature as prominently as it probably should have.
Yeah. I don't know if I missed something, but when they landed on the island to capture mermaids, I thought that's what they were there for.
Oh.
But then they never left again. And it just seemed like, okay, so it's all on the same island? The mermaids, the fountain, the chalices, it's all right here.
It just felt crammed.
Well, you know what? It just kind of felt like it wasn't explained.
They hadn't thought it through.
Yeah, and then it could have been more challenging.
Yeah.
You know? Like, the only challenge, really, was that they were racing to get there, the three different groups.
Yeah.
Where And in the end, that didn't even end up being much of a challenge. So they could have, you know, it could have been a little trickier to get there, to get all the pieces they needed to, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. But. So moving on from that, I took a little bit of a different approach this year with Halloween and getting the kids to watch something Halloween related. I thought I would show them, and it ended up being mostly Connor, a classic film that I like that's like a universal monster movie. So he and I watched Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Emily saw some of it.
Yeah. And they're not the kind of kids that if, you know, this is black and white, bleh, they're not like that at all. Connor found that he kept saying, boy, there's a lot of talking in here. There's a lot of talking. They're talking a lot. But he did. He loved all the underwater stuff. He loved the creature costume. One of the things that I thought was very, very old for him to say was he was really impressed that there was no, you know, this was pre-CG. This was pre all kinds of effects. And it was great. You know, he was still really impressed by the monster and by a lot of the effects and by all the underwater footage. He thought that was cool. So, and I am a big fan of that film. So, and I kept saying to him, you know, give it time, give it time. Just, you know, so he enjoyed it overall. The Universal release of it that I have actually has the two sequels on it, which are Revenge of the Creature and The Creature Walks Among Us, but we didn't watch those. And I also enjoyed telling Connor that Creature from the Black Lagoon was one of the first 3D movies in Hollywood. So this was when 3D was originally back in the day in the 50s. So the film was released in the U.S. In 1954. Directed by Jack Arnold, stars Richard Carlson, Julie Adams, Richard Denning, Antonio Moreno, and Whit Bissell. 79 minutes. That's the other thing Connor said is, he said, it's over already? Like, he was just quite surprised. And as, you know, as somewhat bored as he seemed with it from time to time, when Emily popped in, he recounted the whole story with great gusto, so.
He'd been paying attention.
He had, indeed. So the movie definitely has an enduring legacy, both in media and the public. The Creature from the Black Lagoon is ranked with Dracula, Frankenstein, The Mummy, Wolfman as some of the great Universal monsters. There's a character in The Nightmare Before Christmas who looks like the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
What about Missing Link from...
Yeah, I think so, too. Missing Link from Monsters vs. Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. I would agree. There has been talk over the years of a remake being made. John Carpenter was tied to it at one point. John Landis was tied to it at one point. It seems pretty quiet right now. So there was talk of it happening in 2010 and then again this year. But obviously not happening so far. And no real news on it in Hollywood right now. So we'll just see. And I think around 2007, 2008, during the Writers Guild of America strike, there was some talk of the remake at that point, and then just the strike kind of fizzled that out. So now, to wrap up this week's show, I showed you something new that you thought you had seen, but it seems like you hadn't.
I kept flipping and flopping back and forth, and parts of it felt familiar, and I don't know why.
So the 1982 classic, you know, and it's not even a traditional horror movie. It's more sci-fi, but I would say it's definitely fits in. And I was thinking along the lines of a non-traditional kind of scary movie to watch with you around Halloween. So, and that was 1982's The Thing, John Carpenter's great film.
Yeah, so basically...
everybody knows what it is, so maybe just talk.
Yeah, I was just going to say one thing, of course, that as northern dwellers, I always come to, the portrayal of living in the Antarctic. Now, first of all, it's practically impossible for anybody to live there.
Yeah.
And you can't really ever go outside.
No.
I mean, they did say that it was the beginning of winter, the first 2 weeks of winter or something. So maybe that part, maybe it made it a little more believable. But, you know, just the fact that they were in and out of the outside, and they mentioned it was cold, and they were cold, and whatever
and
else.
They were outside a lot with exposed skin, and I mean, you can't even do that in our part of the world in the winter for very long.
No.
So
and at minus 40? Yeah, and they kept saying, you know, they would mention it's minus 40 out there. Oh, well, I'm taking the chopper up anyway. I don't even know if that's possible.
No.
So anyway, you know, it's those things that you pick up on when you know that it isn't maybe
winter folk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad that we can know these things. But anyway.
What did you think overall?
Overall, it was good.
You were a little bit scoffy near the beginning, and I thought... I think I got a little defensive, and I was thinking, like, the whole sequence with the sled dogs in the cage, like, I've always thought that was fairly disturbing, and I still think it's fairly disturbing, but you were kind of like, huh, what?
Oh, well, it was really kind of fake, and it was really kind of, I don't know, little whippy, tenderly things are flipping around outside of its
back. But remember, again, this is pre-CG, right?
You know, and that's the advantage, I guess... The advantage for me, because I don't like to be scared.
Yes.
So seeing it 2 decades after it's been released, it's a lot less scary when you've seen things that are done CG that are really, really scary.
Right.
You're right? Yeah. So to me, that's an advantage. I'd rather be scoffing than freaking out. That's just me.
So, yeah, we've watched... What did you... You screamed a couple of times in Pirates of the Caribbean, too. And that...
Just... I don't know. Things, if things come up,
jumping or.
Yeah, jump out unexpectedly, they scare me.
Michelle does this high pitched screech that's kind of like kicking a poodle. You want to be scared, that'll scare you. I think we wet the three kids and I wet the couch.
What was kind of funny about watching the thing is, I think Bella was more scared than anybody.
Yeah.
It was weird.
With the dogs barking and howling and stuff and the sounds the creature was making.
She was really freaked out.
Yeah, she was like, what the heck?
She couldn't settle, and she was wandering around the house with her tail between her legs and jumping at every little thing. And then when I screamed at one point, she just about hit the roof.
She was like that Looney Tunes cat that's buried its claws in the ceiling and is just shaking, hanging upside down.
It was really weird because...
I think the sounds the dogs were making, the sled dogs were making, and then the odd sounds the creature was making at different times in the movie. I think she just didn't know what to make of that.
Yeah, it was freaking her out. And we're not used... Like, I know there are a lot of dogs who actually do watch TV.
Yeah.
But Sydney has never really could care less. Bella has shown the occasional interest if it's a dog barking or a bird or something. But but for her to have been...
Traumatized.
Really scared by it. It was kind of funny. And sad.
Kind of funny, and we laughed at her. No, it was weird. It was
after weird. A while, she settled down. It was just something spooked her, but she did settle down after a while, and she was okay. So
overall, you liked it.
It was, what did it remind me of? Maybe the X-Files? That X-Files movie. There was a UFO that crashed in the, I don't know if it was the Arctic or the Antarctic.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
There were just parts of it that felt really familiar for some reason.
Yeah, well, it's definitely, you know, Creature from the Black Lagoon is pretty iconic, and so is The Thing. I mean, we haven't seen the prequel yet, or it's supposed to be a prequel, but what I don't understand is the interaction with the American outpost at the beginning of Carpenter's movie. They're clearly, what are they, Finnish?
Yeah, or Swedish, or something.
Yeah, they're Norwegian. Then... How is a prequel that has American actors in it... Like, I mean, I haven't seen the movie, and I don't really know anything about it. So how do you have a prequel that should technically take place at a Norwegian outpost with American actors? I don't know. I don't get it. But maybe that would become clear if we saw it.
Maybe it would.
So that has been View from the Couch for Wednesday, the... What is it? 26th of October. And enjoy, you know... Halloween being on a Monday, probably Friday, Saturday, Sunday is when people are going to have most of their, you know, going out dressed up, having their parties, that kind of stuff. And then kids will probably go trick-or-treating, I guess, Monday night. So enjoy your Halloween. Have a lot of fun. Be safe. Make sure your kids are safe while they're out trick-or-treating. Go with them or make sure they have flashlights and stuff like that because we want everybody to have fun. And thanks for tuning in. And sorry again that we took a 2-week break, but that's life. And so happy Halloween from Kent and Michelle at View from the Couch. And as always, we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.